Hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease. The speed of light. It's 186,000 miles per second, or it's about 439 million meters per second. Light from the sun takes about 9 minutes to reach the earth. In the beginning, God created. What was the first thing? Let there be light. Did you know that in that cosmos, the closest star to us is literally hundreds of thousands of light years? So once you get past the 9 minutes it gets to the sun, it is a really long journey. The universe is unimaginably large. How did that universe happen? How was it created? Who created it? There are those in the scientific community that said a creator is not necessary, that it began in a singular point some 15 billion years ago, and all the matter that is was in that point, and it has been expanding ever since. And perhaps one of these days it will contract and start all over again. Who created it? What was there before there was that point of singularity? God. God created that single point which spread into everything that is. And God stepped out on that creation and pronounced it good. When Jesus heard that John was arrested, said that he withdrew to Galilee. But the word withdrew does not capture what the meaning really was. A closer word would have been escaped to Galilee. Why was Jesus retreating to Galilee or withdrawing to Galilee? It was simply not safe for him any longer. John the Baptist had been preaching. Remember, John had baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, and John continued to preach. And followers of John would come to Jesus, and followers of Jesus would go to John and say, "Are you he or are you he?" And John said, "I am not worthy to tie the sandal." But he came and preached, and he withdrew to Galilee to escape. Jesus was hunted very early in life, was he not? Do you remember in the Nativity Gospel, where did they escape to? They escaped to Egypt, did they not? When Herod sought them. Well, this was another Herod, and he was still seeking Jesus and the followers and John and his followers. And why was Herod so adamant about finding John and Jesus and their followers? What did he have to fear from them? Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah. And he said, the people who have sat in darkness have seen a great light. On them a light has dawned. What was that light that had dawned on the people? What was Jesus preaching? Was Jesus a threat to Herod? You betcha. Everything that Jesus preached stood against the powers and the principalities as they were. When he talked about the Beatitudes, the blessings, the ones that he blessed weren't the landowners and the leaders of the temple and the money changers. The people that he pronounced as blessed are they who mourn, they will be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons of God. Blessed are all those categories of people who were really on the outside looking in to the hierarchy of the day. And so it's no wonder that they sought not only John, but Jesus very early on. And so he retired to a place. And listen, in the prophecy from Isaiah, it describes the place. It is called Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. The leaders of the temple were trying to catch Jesus. And so Jesus escaped to where the temple had less authority. It seems as if there has always been that push and pull between religion and politics, has there not? I'm so glad we don't have that today. And that's as far as I'm going with this conversation. Maybe one day. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The word repent doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so, so sorry I did that. I am so sorry. That's not what it means. It means literally a change in direction. It means a change in direction. Most of you have heard the story of John Newton, who was a seafarer in the 17th century. He sailed for England, the king, and then he left the king's service and he began sailing on a slave ship, and he captured slaves and brought them. And finally, he was wrecked at sea. He was in dire straits. And finally, he came to his senses. And when we call it came to his senses, what is the word that we use? He repented. You might know him for the author of perhaps the most famous hymn there ever was, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. The power of the gospel to turn his life around. If that life can be turned around, surely you're in my life, when we sincerely desire to come closer to God, surely that can happen for us. After he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," he began walking by the sea. And by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers with their nets, Simon and Andrew, his younger brother. In one of the other gospel representations, it is Andrew who brings Simon to Jesus. But nonetheless, the brothers found Jesus, or rather, Jesus found the brothers. And he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people." What do you think he saw in them? Why them? This is not a trick question. I don't know. But Jesus saw something in them that no one else saw. Simon probably had a reputation. He was loud-mouthed. He was probably quick with his fists. He may have been somewhat of a troublemaker. But Jesus saw in him the possibility for new life. Andrew was always the younger brother, but I like it in the other gospel where it records that Andrew actually convinces Simon, his brother, to come to Jesus. Immediately they left their nets. And from there he found two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They would be called the sons of thunder. John is that disciple whose gospel has those words there. John thought highly of his relationship with Jesus because in his gospel, he put the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was talking about himself. Are you the disciple whom Jesus loves? Well, of course you are. So I'm going to cut John some slack. He was telling the truth. He would become the poet laureate of the New Testament. His language would raise the discussion to the heights of the ancient philosophers. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That beautiful, beautiful passage that we say on Sunday morning. And they followed Jesus too. And Jesus went throughout Galilee. What did he do as he went throughout Galilee? He taught, he healed, and he proclaimed. We had a planning session yesterday morning, and almost half of you were there. It was the biggest group that I've ever had to give up a whole Saturday morning and come and spend time in planning, and it was good. And this passage, I particularly speak out because it speaks to us and what we are called to do. Okay, it's your turn now. Not because I lost my sermon. Proclaiming, healing, and teaching. What do we proclaim here? Is there a super long statement of faith that we must memorize in order to do church here? No. What is our proclamation? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's not even, and I'm not even going to say our, because each of these confessions is a personal confession. I can't confess for you. You understand things differently than I do. So it's, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and my personal Savior. That's what we proclaim. What do we teach here? Ah. Yes, those are the words that came, that bubbled up yesterday. And they describe who we both are and who we proclaim to be and who we want to be moving forward. The words that came up most often were care and community and love and togetherness and acceptance. Those words were at the very top of our list of who we are. That's what we teach, and that's hopefully what we learn from each other. What do we heal? We may not, that may be a little harder to what do we heal here. Yeah, I have been the recipient of some of your healing care. As I've been here, I know you have. Do we heal hunger here ever? Yes. Something like 10,000 folks this past year had more to eat and better meals because of our ministry here. Our healing goes farther than that, because we not only heal the hunger and the hurts of the heart, but we are here for all of those who feel just kind of lost. Things aren't going well. This is the safe place to be. And so as Jesus went throughout Galilee, He taught in the synagogues. He proclaimed the good news. And He provided healing. That is our call. We are part of the great church universal. I told some people earlier, I think one of the worst things that ever happened to the church was in the 4th century when the church was baptized into the Roman Empire. The Emperor Constantine brought the church into the power base of the empire. And so the church became part of the powerful. No one can accuse us here of being part of the politically powerful. And I like that. I like that. The speed of light. The light has come into the world. And it is our job, it is our calling, it is our joy, it is our mandate to present that light. Amen.